The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Babb to look ahead to the best of Thursday's action. Got action at Fontwell and Chelmsford to look forward to on this podcast. Also action at Kelso and at Leicester, and a card over the Irish here at Thurles as well. So plenty of stuff to get your teeth stuck into on Thursday. But first things first, I'm Alex Dunn and this is John Babb. How are you, John?
I'm very well, thank you. Perhaps a little bit worse for the wear from celebrating a Wolves 4-1 win away at Huddersfield last night.
Doesn't happen often, does it?
It doesn't. The last time we won scored four away was back in March at Swindon, and that was a similarly long night as well. So
a slightly poorly John Babb sits opposite me. But you've cast your eye over three or four races, and we're going to get to them in just a moment.
Yep.
We'll just start with the front of the Racing Post. Geraghty 1-6 to Phil McCoy Boots. Nothing yet discussed, says McManus manager. Of course, last week's news that AP McCoy will be retiring at the end of the season. Initially, obviously, nobody was really thinking about who would be replacing him. But now that seems a pretty prominent question. And Geraghty is the logical choice, isn't he? Partly because there aren't any other standout candidates who are currently available, if you like.
No, it is, I think, probably more a case of whether he wants to come and spend a lot more of his time over in this country, I would guess. Mm. When you say nobody's given any thought, I wouldn't be, you know, the fact that obviously it was going to be a milestone winner, but the family was there, his agent was there, and I would half suspect that he's had this conversation with JP that he's going to be retired. You know, I don't think he suddenly got off that horse and just decided to retire. So I would very much think that JP was part of the conversation and has probably given it a little bit more thought than most, because he's probably had a little bit more time to think about it.
Mm.
There's no obvious need to go out and rush to make a decision, because this season's sorted anyway. McCoy's carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the summer's pretty much as it is, really. Richie McLernan rides a lot more in the summer, and I think it's only really starting to go affect things probably from about next October. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go with anybody as such, and things are just very much as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with people just taking the best available and the logical choices that they make now, and people just probably stepping up a notch for the big rides. But the Irish rides, apart from a Sunday when McCoy goes over there, very much look after themselves for JP, so that is very much status quo. And then whether somebody just comes over for the big rides on a Saturday, and perhaps Richie McLernan just takes a lot of the midweek rides,
yeah.
I would suspect that may well happen.
Okay.
But particularly the ones for Jonjo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as things stand, you've got McCoy over here with McLernan sort of a backup. You've got maybe Morris Linehan who gets a few.
Yeah.
Geraghty gets a few of the big rides. And it's Mark Walsh, isn't it, over in Ireland?
Yeah.
Do you think that he would be a contender for the main job?
Again, I don't know whether he'd want to come out. Again, it's because it's a lot of the good racing over there on a Sunday, isn't it? It's a different lifestyle to come over here and change a complete change for them. I'm not sure. They may well just come in more like Ruby used to, perhaps for some of the big events when there's no racing in Ireland, and get used that way. I think these are going to be a lot of discussion. It's going to run a bit, perhaps like the Newcastle manager's job. I don't think it's something anybody's going to rush into, to be honest. Let's see how things work out for a while, see how they pan out, and it might take a long time to sort itself out, this one.
Yeah, OK. But, of course, if McLernan stays riding during the week, it's something he's been quite accustomed to in recent times.
Exactly.
So.
And at some stage, they have got to give the lad a chance to have a bit of a leg up, really.
Yeah. If you think of the big rides he's had, he's won on Holywell a few times. Obviously, John Spirit he gets on very, very well with. There's no reason why he couldn't effectively.
No, not at all. And there is going to be one or two jobs sort of, coming up as people start to retire. I mean, I mean, Richard Johnson's got his great chance at the championship next year, but I wouldn't think he'll be riding for too many more years, and then the Philip Hobbs job will come available. Mm. So there's going to be opportunities for some of the younger jockeys, and that is needed, to be honest, because a lot of the top jobs have historically been filled for a long time, and there hasn't been the breaks for the kids.
That is true. OK, right, we'll move on to Thursday's action then, and we'll start with a 3:50 at Fontwell. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, 13 runners going to post in this one, and some fairly informed types got to post as well, John. You've got those that have won last time out, Up and Running and Mariette down at the bottom there. And then you've got some consistent types, the likes of Stowe, Prout's Pub, Kinkora Fort, horses that consistently run to a similar level,
yep.
Don't always win, but which one do you think can come out on top here?
Yeah, the thing that's catching my eye a little bit here is the ground. I mean, Plumpton the other day, you started to see some different types of horses coming to the fore with the drying ground on around there, and I think it'll be a little bit the same at Fontwell.
Mm.
Good to soft already, no particular rain forecast. Well, don't think there is. I'm just going to check that as we're speaking.
Mm.
But as I say, you will start to see a slight change in results for me, and different horses are going to be winning soon. The form book's going to turn upside down. It's good to soft in places as we speak. Forecast looking mainly dry through to racing. So I would anticipate good to soft at least, you know.
Mm.
Now, horses here that have been running well in heavy ground, the likes of Kinkora Ford, Stowe is a complete mudlark. They may just find this a little bit of a different kettle of fish come tomorrow. And the one that catches the eye here for me is Richard Lee's horse, Definite Future,
okay,
having his first run in a handicap. Richard Lee has only had 5 runners at Fontwell in the last 5 years. So it's a long way from his base over on the Welsh border near Hereford to go down to Fontwell with one horse tomorrow. The horse has been off for 52 days. He ran 3 times fairly close together in novice hurdles to get his handicap mark, which is always a bit of a sign for me that that there's a bit more of a plan with the horse. So he's run on twice in November, once in December, job done. Then he's had 2 months off. And then the slightly better ground. Now, if you look at his bumper form on good ground is not bad at all. He's second at Aintree last year on good ground, decent, probably his best run on the track on a race course. Now, we're getting, again, as I say, drying ground. Richard Lee, excellent form, excellent trainer. I think this horse is not badly handicapped off 103 against a fair few exposed types.
Mm.
And for me, Definite Future is an interesting runner tomorrow.
Okay.
And one worth keeping an eye on.
And certainly, you know, some of the bits and pieces of form behind, say, the Grey Taylor at Weatherby.
Yeah.
Nice
big field handicap. Yeah, exactly.
Only beating 27 lengths. I know that 27 lengths is a long way, but when you think about it,
it can be exaggerated in the last, the second last as well.
Exactly. So, okay, Definite Future, very much interesting then in the 3:50 in what should be a pretty competitive race.
Yeah.
Next up is the 4:50. It's the bumper. Conditionals and amateurs riding here. What on earth are you going to tip in this one? I mean, we've got the betting will have Chapel Hall, you'd imagine, pretty prominent for Nicky Henderson and Freddie Mitchell. You've got a few others that, you know, carry penalties, which is often, you know, the crippler, if you like, in events like this. And then down at the bottom, you've got Sir Mark Prescott with one.
And obviously, it's very unusual for a race like this, a bumper, to get such a lot of press as one day before, like the race has.
Mm.
It takes up the whole of page 3 in the Racing Post today, talking about Sir Mark's runner at Fontwell tomorrow. And when you look at the breeding of this horse, it's a difficult one for people to price up tomorrow. Obviously, blue blood in there. Got three black type horses as half siblings. Sir Mark Prescott in himself just having a runner down there. The market has got to be cautious for a daughter of See the Stars,
yeah,
out of a Kerlian mare. But he does report the horse as being an enormous horse that didn't get broken until it was 3. Now, Fontwell, up and down, I know the hurdle's on the outside, but it's still quite a tight track.
Mm.
And this race is only 1.6 miles. They sometimes do 2.2 miles, which is what I thought it probably would be.
Yeah.
But I just wonder whether it might just happen a little bit quick for Sea Pride myself tomorrow. And the one, I think Chapel Hall, we'll have a chance to bet this horse tomorrow, because without that Mark Prescott in there, for me, Chapel Hall would be a big, fairly big odds-on chance,
mm-hmm,
against the two horses, like you've touched on, with penalties. And Tim Vaughan struggling for winners, to be honest with you. Although he hasn't got a bad record in bumpers. But Chapel Hall's run at Ascot I thought was very, very encouraging. Again, a strong field, to be honest, when it was beaten there by Wilbur Dragon. Did it all wrong on the home turn. Every chance three out. Lost its chance on the bend and did some real good work inside the final furlong, closing Wilbur Dragon and De Silviano down at the line, finishing in front of the likes of the Boss's Dream, which, to be fair, is very decent bumper form.
Well, in the context of this, where you've got two previous winners who are carrying penalties, and that form wouldn't amount to the same as Chapel Horse third, would it?
No, not at all. Even a horse that finished well behind it, Bath's Well of Ben Pawlings, has come out since and won at Ludlow. He finished ninth in that race. I think that is strong bumper form this season. Mm-hmm. And I think if the Prescott horse holds up in the market and we can get anything evens or odds against, I'm only hoping, probably.
Yeah.
I think Chapel Hall would be a bet. Useful Freddie Mitchell claiming seven as well there for us.
Okay, so Chapel Hall the pick in the 450. We'll move to Chelmsford City then for the 640 next. It's a handicap over six furlongs. 10 runners going to post in this one. Looks a pretty open race, John. You've got some, I wouldn't say disappointing types, but we pretty much know what we're getting with all of these. Even the four-year-olds, who you may think have got a bit of progression to come, they're fairly exposed, aren't they?
They are, with the exception. I still think the one I'm going to tip is a little bit more unexposed than most. But I was going to go for the 7-10 there and tip the Yank in a race there where Tony Carroll actually almost filled this race with entries, flooded it. Mm. And he's taken the Yank out today and runs it tomorrow in a race where I think the horse should win again before he goes up the weekend. But because we've tipped Chapel Hall, who's going to only be a fairly thin price, I've tried to go here at the 640 and go for something a little bit more speculative. I'm going to go with number six here, Save My Bacon, from the Chris Dwyer Yard.
Okay.
Like you say, they are mainly exposed. You've got 12 and 13-year-olds in here. This horse has only had seven chances. So got a couple of thirds on his card. And that last time, it was a fast-finishing fourth at Kempton behind Quantum Dot, which in itself doesn't look an outstanding piece of form. But the horse hadn't probably got the best of draws, drawn out in six. When Quantum Dot had the rail and got away from him, and essentially had the race won turning in. Save My Bacon was held up in the rear, well, as actually last, to be honest, turning in. Did a lot of good work inside the final furlong and was really going on well at the finish. Now, probably that Kempton five furlongs was a little bit too fast for the horse. And some of the form that's really caught my eye is the two runs at Southall, particularly the third behind Very First Blade on the 13th of December. And then again over five furlongs when he ran behind Stuart Williams' Hardwood Star, who was drawn well that day, Hardwood Star, as normal on the five furlongs there. The race panned out with the runners on the far side coming to the fore. Mm. Save My Bacon was drawn in stall 10 and raced under the stands rail, not the place to be at Southall, and ran particularly well that day for a horse racing on that part of the track under Thomas Helmsley. Didn't get beat too far. And I quite like the way some of the horses from Southall have been going at Chelmsford, which has been riding a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And I think Chris does well with these types of horses, sort of slow burners, slowly improve. They find their level. She's only rated 47, and I'd think that it won't be long before, if it's not tomorrow, it won't be long before Chris is finding a win or two out of this, well-related to winners that were sort of up in the 70s and 80s, and I'm hoping it'll be tomorrow. I would like the horse to have been drawn a little bit lower. We draw 9 of 10, which isn't perhaps the ideal when you've got Satchville Flyer in 5 likely to lead. And Stud Farmers down in stall 2, we've got a much better draw. He's sort of main protagonist. But I do think Save My Bacon's open to improvement, and I'll take him each way against these.
Yeah, and you will get you'd imagine, a quite nice each-way price.
You would think
Satchville
so.
Flyers, you know, were winner with a penalty. Soul Instinct was a promising second last time, and Stud Farmer's been...
Yeah.
Holding his form well, so Save My Bacon the each way pick there. And you mentioned the 7-10, we'll just touch on it quickly.
As I said,
Tony Carroll's got three of the five, and it looks to be the Yank that is, well, his best hope. But you'd imagine if he's going to get beaten, it's going to be by one of his stablemates.
Possibly. Par three looked very, very slow on his first run over here. He was with the Harringtons in Ireland, and I think his future probably lies more over hurdles. San Quentin, I wouldn't think he'd have the tactical speed in a small field race, to be honest, that the Yank's got. The Yank does tank through his races, and he's really good form at the moment. He's come back off a break and looks really well. And I think I can see, I could see him improving another 7 to 10 pound yet, the Yank.
Okay, fair enough. So there, you've got four picks for your money there as well. Can you just spin us through the four that you fancy then,
yeah,
John,
yeah.
For Thursday?
The 350 at Fonwell, I'll go for Richard Lee's horse, Definite Future. The 450 in the Natalon Flat Race will go for Nicky Henderson's Chapel Hall. And at 640 at Chelmsford City, we're looking at Chris Dwyer's Saved My Bacon. And in the 710, we'll throw in the Yank as well from the Tony Carroll Yard.
Great stuff, John. Best of luck with your picks on Thursday and enjoy all the action.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.